Thank you, Mary Ann. And we have Deb, our illustrious president of ACB, who is streaming for us today. Yeah.
Okay, you're connected.
And Cecily is our monitor.
And Cecily is our moderator. So I'm going to ask you guys to give these two young ladies your undivided attention, because they have come all the way from Tallahassee and from Daytona. And so apparently you came in this meeting to ask questions. And so we don't want to miss any information. This first young lady, I'm going to talk about a little bit. She already knows. We got a new deputy director, and she came to Daytona. And I was like, whoa, who is this cool dressed young lady? She had her back in a ponytail, but she was dressed like to the nines. And those of you who know Cynthia Slater, right, you know Cynthia was always dressed. Well, this young lady came, and she came dressed to the nines. And I told her, it won't be long before you realize when you come here, you got to dress down. But she dressed down, but she dressed down her way. And I just want to tell you that she and I had big sister, little sister talks, even though I was older than her. And I learned a lot from her. She just didn't know it. And I don't know what to say other than I want to introduce to you Ms. Trina Travis. She is the interim director of Division of Blind Services. And for those of you who remember, Ms. Nicole came to us and talked to us, and now she's back. So she's going to chat with us a little bit, and they're going to let us know what is going on in the world of DBS and the library. So please give them your undivided attention. Thank you.
Hello, good afternoon. I hope you don't mind if I walk around a little bit. I sit a lot in my day job. I want to walk around a little bit. So I thought and thought long and hard about what I could share with you all today. And I came to this conclusion. What I have to say is less important than what you have to say. So I'm going to provide some updates. I'm share some information with you. But after that, I want to hear from you. Is that okay? All right. So I want to start out with what we're hoping to accomplish in the next year at the division. Many of you may or may not know that the agency put forth a bill. It's House Bill 1279, and it's about consumer disclosure and protection. And so what that bill is designed to do is require businesses who are providing blind-related services to disclose to consumers that DBS may provide the same or similar services for free or our contracted providers. And so in that requirement, they have to give you a statement about the services that you are getting ready to either go into contract for or pay for, and you sign whether or not that disclosure was provided to you. If you decide to move forward with that provider, then you're aware that the division provides those services for free. And the way this came about was there was some concern that we have some businesses out there that are providing services and charging for them. And we are not completely certain if, you know, you all are being made aware. So that's how that came about. It did pass. It was enrolled and engrossed. And as part of our implementation plan, we're going to approach that in two ways. We're actually going to do a consumer education where we put out information for the consumer, letting consumers know, hey, this is now law. You do not have to pay for services. And if you decide to move forward with that, then that's up to you because it's your choice. It is consumer choice. But we want to make sure that people are aware that they do not have to pay for blind-related services, such as O&M, assistive technology, and things like that. And so on the business education side, we're providing them with what the law says, along with a copy of the services that we provide so that they can put that in their statement, and making sure that people are signing off on that disclosure. Any questions about the agency bill?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You say it's 479 bill?
House Bill 1279.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being here, Trina, folks. This is Mikey, and I'm fully presidential right now. For full disclosure for the folks that are listening to this, I have been engaged with FOSB about this particular bill, and I am, on behalf of the Florida Council of the Blind, absolutely behind knowledge is power and making sure that individuals who are seeking or require rehabilitative services or additional training are informed of their options. I am of the old guard, Trina, right? So, you know, consumer choice does trump everything. And one of the concerns, and this is not a Trina thing, but I do want you guys to know that we are aware of this. We have had conversations with FOSB. We're close, but we're still on opposite sides of the fence, right? And what we, from a consumer advocacy organization standpoint, are really trying to get FOSB to understand is that with tightening budgets, with different curriculum, if you will, of delivery of services, the number one challenge that individuals, especially individuals who are newly blinded or newly dealing with sight impairment or vision loss and really wanting to fast track themselves because their life train has fallen off the track and need those rehabilitative services, and they want to get to a vocational plan, i.e. employment, as quick as possible, has been the timeliness and the availability of consistent delivery of services. And that has really been the number one reason from the individuals that have come to us, right, as FCB, with their challenge. Like, I need to get back to work. I'm about to lose my house. I can barely keep the lights on. However, I need to learn this computer so I can do my job or get a job, but I can only go to the lighthouse on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I'm saying lighthouse just as an example because we can all relate to it, right? I can only get my training on Tuesdays and Thursdays for 3 hours, and I really need 4 weeks of consistent delivery, which is why we have really wanted to make sure that the agency's frontline employees are making sure that the rehab, what is it called now? The CT, that one, that whatever she said, right, is fully being discussed with individuals, because we know, and I've never lied to anybody, right? I have always, my story has always been the same. I am a proud product of the lighthouse, of a lighthouse. However, I stand before you as president, employed, running a house, doing everything independently, and I am computer illiterate. Okay? If you guys didn't know that, if you put me in front of a keyboard, it's going to be a very, very long day. there's no blame there. It's just at the time that they were giving me that information, I was still figuring it out. Let me just put it to you like that. That's when I became a big advocate for adjustment to blindness training. Like, I did not care about my email. I needed to figure out how to put my toothpaste on my toothbrush, folks, okay? And learning it all at the same time, there's just priorities, and some stuff stuck and the other stuff did not. So these are actual conversations that are being had. Again, it is an individual's choice. We're always going to back the agency up when it comes to consumer choice, but we are seeing a trend, especially with a segment of the population that can afford to source out this training that they want, more consistent so they can build on skills from one day to the next, they are utilizing this. And we are concerned because there's a question of the overall quality of the training, making sure that they're accredited, what that background screening is, what the overall exposure is for some of these participants. But we're never going to impede somebody from exercising their own choice. So we're hoping to continue our longstanding dialogue with the agency and partnership to ensure that individuals seeking service get the best service that is appropriate for them at the time. But if you guys are dealing with newly blinded folks that need some training, make sure you have a good relationship with your local office so you can make that referral. And don't be afraid to talk to them about some of the options, and specifically the whatever she said. CTA. I used to call it the rehab center in Daytona. That's how old I actually am, okay? But there, you know, we have now, the data's there. We can take a couple steps back, look at some of those graduates, and say, did they get to where they needed to be a lot quicker? My personal opinion is yes, right? So, but again, it's everybody's choice. That's not for everybody. Not a lot of people can pack up and go there for a couple of weeks. So just wanted to chime in on that one, Trina. Thank you so much. I hope I didn't overstep. You want to hit me, Al? Not yet?
Actually, nice segue to the next thing I want to talk about. So Mikey mentioned making sure that providers, people providing fee for services are properly background screened. So we're looking at using our authority for rulemaking to ensure that people who we are not directly contracted with but may be providing services to our consumers, they have the proper background screenings, especially if they are providing if they're directly engaging with our clients and consumers. We want to make sure that protection is there. And so we're looking at our rulemaking authority in order to make that a requirement for anyone that's wanting to provide services to our clients and have direct engagement with them. And then in addition to that, we are wanting to make sure that they have the certifications required to provide those services, training services, because the worst thing that could happen is that you go through a training and you don't get out of it what you need because that person didn't have the qualifications that they needed. So that's where we are on that. Any questions? So the next thing I want to talk about, we will be conducting a comprehensive statewide needs assessment. And we've done this, we're required to do it every 3 years. But this year, as we start the process, we're looking at making sure not only do we get the voice of the consumer, the clients, but we want to get the voice of the rural consumer, the rural clients, those people who are outstationed in places we may not have a lighthouse or we may not have a district office, and truly understand what the service needs are from their standpoint. Yes, we know that transportation is an issue, but what are some of the other things and challenges that they're facing that we could potentially strategize around and put things in place to better serve those people in those communities? We also have out our strategic plan. It is on our website. And the strategic plan is designed to make the public aware, our consumer advocacy groups and our stakeholders, what it is we hope to accomplish within the next 5 years. We have several things on that strategic plan. And so I encourage you to go out, take a look at the strategic plan. We have an email box that we set up that allows you to provide comments, questions about what it is we are hoping to accomplish within the next 5 years. A lot of it is surrounding the vocational rehabilitation portion of our programs, of our division. But we still want to hear from you guys about how we can better engage our pre-ETS population, how we can better engage our children's program, how we can better engage in our babies' programs as well as the older adult program. Pre-employment transition, that's the clients who are between the ages of, I'm going to get this wrong, 14 and 21. 14 to 21. So the goal really is to start early to build up the workforce of the next generation. And so no better way to do that than to start engaging our clients as early as possible. Doing that career exploration, doing that engagement in interest seeking, learning more about what careers are out there, what careers are growing, engaging the interests of those kids before they actually graduate from high school and a little bit beyond. Also this year, DBS is celebrating its 85th anniversary. So with that, we've already started putting newsletters out on Facebook. If you follow us on Facebook, you've probably come across some of our newsletters. Those newsletters cover many things, eye health awareness, vision awareness, and things of that nature. But we've also started getting into featuring old, former clients and current clients, as well as we featured, I believe in the month of April, or maybe even this month, we featured one of our first graduates of the Web Accessibility Apprenticeship Program. Yeah, so we featured him, and he has since accepted the job to become the journey worker for that program, which is great for us. And so we are looking to bring in the next round of apprentices in hopefully the next couple of months. So we're really excited about that. We have a workforce coordinator that's been working on putting together a pre-apprenticeship program that serves as a feeder into that program. So we're really excited about that. And then we're also excited about a partnership that we're going into with the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind, where we do a CompTIA Tech Plus for the kids, high school juniors and seniors who are interested in technology, or they may not be completely sure that's the path for them. So this is an introductory course that allows them to make that decision definitively one way or the other, like yes it is or no it's not. So we're really excited about that. We're hopeful that we will launch that this upcoming fall. So that is it for my updates. But like I said, less about what I have to say and more about what you have to say. As part of that comprehensive statewide needs assessment, there's going to be listening sessions. We're partnering with Florida State to do that work for us. And so we do want you to be on the lookout for announcements for where they'll be hosting these listening sessions. That way we're getting feedback from you as a community on how we can improve, the things that we need to do better, and then to identify those services that we need to truly consider to engage you all the best way possible. With that being said, I am going to sit down. Thank you so much for listening.
Okay.
Nicole, is your son in the room?
Yes, my son is in the room. It would happen to be Mary Tyson's dog. I can't help it. We're not supposed to have favorites, but he might be my favorite. He always listens. Okay, let's close the conversation right there. Let's talk library. I want to update you on some things from the library. Some of the things you may be aware of. Some of the things have just taken a while to come into fruition. But I also have some NLS updates, and then I'm happy to take questions and hear from you. First and foremost, the Alexa. I hope nobody has that app on and they're listening to me right now. The A Lady. That is in beta testing right now with the National Library Service. Yes, I think it's going to be awesome. I know many of you are already on that. They've asked for a 5,000 group of people to test this, give them feedback, tell them what they need to change and fix and do. I was just on a call with the National Library Service last week, and they said there is still plenty of room. I want to say like 1,500 spots left. So if you are interested in beta testing that, I can get you hooked up. You just need to email them, and they're going to send you what you need to do with your A-lady in your house and get set up testing it out, because we're getting some great feedback before we, you know, implement the final product. The DA2s, I know some of you stopped by our table out there. You've looked at the new DA2 machines that we have. They're wonderful. We've already gotten some feedback about them. NLS is listening. They are already talking about an overlay for it that would minimize some of the buttons, because some people don't want to use all of the fancy things that it does. They just want to play their cartridges. But that new machine has Wi-Fi, so you can download your books directly. It also has Bluetooth, so you can hook up your earbuds or whatever you may have to listen. So it has got, it is a little bigger. It's shaped completely different, and it does have more buttons. So here's a really cool thing. If you're not really into the tech part, if you call us and you know your Wi-Fi name and password, because we can't help you with that, we can walk you through getting hooked up with your machine. And once it's on Wi-Fi, we can push books to your machine. So you don't have to learn to download if you don't want to do that. You can call us and say, hey, I want this series or I want this author, and we can push them right there to your machine so they're there ready for you to play. But you do have to be hooked up to Wi-Fi to make that happen. So give us a call. We're happy to help you walk through that. E-readers. Yes, sorry. Sure. So it's the talking book machine that plays the digital cartridges that we send out in the mail with the books on it. So your cartridges now can have anywhere, depending on the length of the book, from 5, 10 books, something like that, on one cartridge. So it just goes right into that machine and you can play your books. But with this particular machine, you don't have to have a cartridge, because you could just download all of your books to it. And it will hold over like 100 books. So you can download and have them right there on your machine. You don't have to wait for the Postal Service to deliver your books.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. 132. Mary is the guru on this, so she can correct me here. Okay, and we have another question.
Oh, thank you. Just for clarification, you and Bard are one and the same?
When you say you... So the National Library Service owns Bard. Yes, it is the digital download database that has all of the audiobooks stored on it. That is owned by the National Library Service. So I do know Bard has had some issues from time to time. It is not perfect. They just upgraded to Bard 2.0. They're listening. They're making changes. But with every change comes, you know, its share of problems. So if you have issues with Bard, we're happy to help you get through those. But I will say, sometimes we just get feedback. It doesn't do this anymore, or we'd like for it to do that. We are your advocates for the National Library Service. Please share that information with us. And we meet with them regularly, so we're happy to give that feedback. And quite honestly, they've been happy to get it. So I think they're coming to you with a microphone. I see your hand up.
Hi.
Hello.
Speaking of Bard, I wanted to find out if there is any update as to when we might be able to sync all our books with multiple devices in the app.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
If we, if I have 100 books on one device and I want to listen on my Bard app on a different device... that also has the Bard app installed. Are they going to be able to sync like happens with other audio reading services, where you can listen to the same book, the same spot where you left off in different devices within the app?
I gotcha. So across devices,
yeah.
Whatever,
yes.
You've downloaded, it's there.
Uh-huh.
I'm walking to my guru.
No, you're on.
Oh, gosh. That would really be awesome, but when you download them, obviously they're not streaming. So if it was streaming, it would be easier to do. But as it is now, if you have, like I do, like 20 books on my phone, and if I want that book on my DA2, then I have to re-download it. You can't do that at this point. And because it's not streaming, I don't think that they're going to be able to do that.
Right, you have to download everything. So whatever device you download it to, that's where you're going to listen to it. Thank you, Mary. Okay, intelligent barcodes. We are super excited about this, and I'm hoping that you'll get super excited about it because the United States Postal Service is working with the National Library Service to create intelligent barcodes on all cartridges and machines and everything that we send out.
Yay.
Yay. Yay. What this is going to mean is when you call us and say, I did not get my cartridge or I did not get my machine, we can look that up and see exactly where it's at and why it's not getting to you. We are as frustrated as you are sometimes. We send everything out within 24 hours of receiving your order. And so we get frustrated all the same as you when you call 5, 6, 10 days later and you haven't seen it. We know we put it on their truck. I have nothing after that. So this is going to give us a full track of where it's at and, you know, when it's expected to be to you. So there's going to be a learning curve, and we know that this is a huge undertaking. They've kind of already started it with machines. It's quite the process on our end. They haven't perfected it yet, but some things we can track, but they want to do it on everything. And that's going to mean a lot for us. We have to change it in our software that prints out your address cards on the cartridges because it's now got to have room for a different barcode. So there's a lot of logistics behind it, but they are working on it, and they do feel like it's a very, very important task that they need to get done, and we do too. So that is going to be wonderful because we will have answers for you. You might know this, but I just want to make sure everybody's aware. If you're a Braille reader, the National Library Service offers you 5 free books a month for you to keep. You can sign up. You have to fill out a form of what book you want and give the book number, and they will allow you to keep 5 Braille books a month. You can keep them forever and just keep getting 5 a month if you want to build a library. But I just wanted to make everybody aware of that, because if you have a favorite book or something you want to hold on to, you can certainly get it. You just have to fill out a form. We have calendars. I think most of you know this, but you will subscribe through the library if you want a Braille and large print calendar. We have kind of a wall calendar and then a smaller one that can sit on a desk or something. We have a few of them out at our table if you want to see them. And once you're enrolled at the library to receive the calendar, every year as the new ones come out, you'll continue to get them. You don't have to redo every year. We have a library newsletter. I don't know how many of you read it and check that out, but we have a library newsletter we send out twice a year. And we've really tried to chalk it full of not only the latest notes that I'm telling you now from the National Library Service on things that you're using and the equipment, but also our programs that we're doing at the library. We're doing a lot more programs for people online, in person, over the summer. So we want to make you aware of those programs so you can participate. And that is in our newsletter. If you would like to get our newsletter and you are not, you just need to call the library. And again, it's something we can subscribe you to and find out how you would like to receive it, be it Braille or large print or email or even through your Braille reader. So you just need to let us know and we'll send it to you. One of the great things we're doing to really expand throughout the state is we have a library ambassador program. So our program coordinator is going out to public libraries throughout the state or meeting with them online and educating the public libraries about this service so that as people come into the public library and need those audiobooks, or maybe need Braille books, they know where to send them. They don't all currently know about our services. So we are educating the public libraries. They are becoming our ambassadors. Some of them want full displays in their library, and some just want to know who do I have them call, and I can point them in the right direction. And either way, we're happy to help. So that is an initiative we are pushing really hard. To date, we have 55 ambassador libraries that are public libraries throughout the state. And we have 4 library systems and 15 libraries that are in the process right now trying to schedule meetings with us to learn about this. So it is something that's catching on. I encourage you, if you ever go to your public library, to ask them about it, because we're happy to meet with them and give them whatever materials and education they need so that everybody can get the books that they need. We got a hand up in the back.
Thank you for this very informative presentation. My name is Terry Suarez, a resident of Clearmont, Florida. Is there on your website a list of those active public libraries where we can see if our local library is on that list?
You know, we don't have it on our website, which ones it's constantly changing, so we don't have it on our website. But I'm certain I can get you a list, or if you want to email or call us, we can confirm if you have a local library you want to ensure if they've...
I've just had success when I'm out in the community of saying, oh, look what's going on over in Osceola County. They have all their libraries on, and why aren't we there? That would be a very helpful tool if it's just a simple Word document that you can keep up and it sends us to it, or something simple. There's okay. A lot of smart people in here.
Yes.
That can help you with that.
I appreciate that, Terry. We will look into doing that. I can see where that would be helpful when you're out and about to maybe put a little pressure, brag about your library to someone else's so they can jump on board. We'd love that. We have more hands up.
I've got a question. People that, you know, write a book, what is the requirements and how do you get a book on BARD?
So there are some pretty stringent requirements. It used to be that if they were self-published, they would not take them. The National Library Service still has that standard. So if you call them directly, which you can do about your book, and you can enter a form to have it recorded, they have different standards, and that is one of them, is it can't be self-published, which many books are self-published now. It's gotten so easy to do now. We have lowered that standard a little bit. We do have a committee at the library, which has several librarians in it, some reader advisors that will review books now. We've tried to let up on that a little bit because we've recognized there's been some great self-published books that really need to be out there. And so if it's got great editing and it's of good quality, and there are some logistical things when it comes to recording, if there's a lot of graphs and not pictures aren't so much a problem, but graphs and things like that, it can be more difficult to record. But we do take a look at that. So you're welcome to send in a book. It will go through the committee. The other thing we have to look at is, as a small studio who is mostly comprised of volunteers who do the reading, we can only take on so much and actually, you know, get these books pushed out in a decent time. We already take on Florida award winners, books that our local patrons say, please add this book. This would be a great Florida book that has a Florida setting or a Florida author. And we do try to add on some of the series that maybe NLS is just going to be taking a really long time to do, and people want the next book in the series, and we can kick it out. So if we get inundated with self-published books, we have to try to, how much can we handle kind of thing. So that is one thing that's taken into consideration, too, depending on the timing. So you're welcome to call us and give us the information. We do require 2 copies of the book. That's what it would take to record it. A monitor has to be looking at it while the narrator is reading. So 2 copies, and then we have that committee read the book and look it over and decide if it's something we want to make a priority to record. You're welcome.
This is Anisia Correa of Halifax Council of the Blind. Nicole, I just wanted to make sure that you didn't forget to mention what I think was, for me, the most exciting update this year from the library, which is the introduction of the ability to distribute the e-reader from HumanWare. So for yes. Those of you like that were frustrated and struggled with ZoomX like I did for a year or plus, the new e-reader is available. It's wonderful, and I congratulate you on adopting that.
Thank you. Well, thank you for keeping me on track, because it's actually in my notes, but we moved on and I didn't say it. So thank you. Yes, we have both now, the ZoomX and the HumanWare. So if you really don't like your ZoomX, we'll trade it out for you. And if you don't have one yet, you can pick which kind you want. Oh, we have another hand. We're keeping you busy.
Which one do I have?
ZoomX.
So for everybody, I know that I'm, you know, I always say what everybody's thinking, everyone. So for those of us that have the bad habit of curling up with our Victor Reader Stream in bed and then waking up in a panic because we can't find it.
That's right.
The ZoomX is spectacular. It is free. I was hesitant. Most of you know that I do not like change. As usual, the library supported me through this.
I think you're talking about the DHT machine.
Yeah, that one. That's what I asked. No. So that machine is a lifesaver for those of you who panic in the morning when you can't find your Victor Reader stream and it's in the pillowcase. It is wonderful. However, I will tell you, the first couple of nights, you have to get used to not rolling over onto it because you'll smack yourself in the face. But thank you to the library for supporting us with all the new technology and everything you guys bring forth for us. I hope everybody takes advantage of it. Thank you, Nicole.
You're welcome. Thank you. Oh, we have another question.
Earlier, you said something about a three-year assessment, something that you change. I mean, can you explain a little? Is that like a time period? In other words, when do you get kicked out of receiving services from DBS? Is it 3 years?
So the assessment that I spoke to wasn't in relation to how long a client can be in DBS or receiving services from DBS. What this assessment is about, it's a federally required assessment that we must do either every year ongoing, or we can do it in 3 year increments, and we chose 3 years. So every three years, we engage with a university who will, on our behalf, go out and speak with consumers, speak with lighthouses, speak with stakeholders of the blindness community, and do an assessment of what is really needed in order for us to get better as a division. And also to answer the question of what do consumers need to be more independent, to be successful, and things of that nature. So that's the assessment. It doesn't have anything to do with the provision of services, how long you can receive services, but it's more of a continuous improvement type thing.
I promise we're almost done because I could talk library all day with you, but I promise I'm going to wrap this up. Let's talk TBTs for a moment. How many people missed the big TBT catalogs that NLS used to send out, I don't know, years ago? Yes, I know everybody misses those. So what we have tried to do, and believe me, we've given that feedback to NLS. They're hearing that nationwide. They did share with us. They have no intent to go back to that. So, but what we decided to do locally at our Florida library was create something for you since you were used to getting that. We can't create that whole catalog. It's just, it would be a lot. It would be a giant expense. But what we do is take some of the top genres that our patrons tend to ask for the most, and we pick from that selection. When they electronically put it out, we take things directly from that and create our own couple of page TBT straight from theirs. So we can send you something with some new books. It's not all of them by far, but it is by genre, and we just pick some popular genres, and then we send you some books that are in each. So if you would like that, that is something you would need to subscribe to through the library. Please give us a call and tell them that you want to subscribe to the TBT that we produce, and we will send that out so at least you get some idea of some of the new books coming out.
For those of us that don't know what TBT is, could you please explain that for me?
Yes. I'm sorry. TBT stands for Talking Book Topics. It's quite a catalog, a paper catalog they used to send in the mail with all the latest books that have been added. Right. She said it's like 150 pages. It's big. And that used to be really helpful because you know everything that has just been added. And you can go through by genre. It was separated out by genre. So if you had a favorite, you know, you like Westerns or you like mysteries, you could go there and find out all the latest new books, especially if you're waiting on a new one in the series or something like that. It was really, really helpful. And for many years, they produced that. And a lot of our patrons used it. So we've got a mini version now that we send out. Next question.
On your mobile app, it's so much different. I use my mobile app, you know, to search and then put it on my wish list, then download it onto my picture. But I just wondered if you were doing anything with the search engine on your, when you use your Victor.
I have to be honest, I didn't know the search engine was different on the Victor. We do get a lot of feedback about the search engine, and we are constantly giving them that information. But I didn't realize it was different. Mary, do you know how it's different?
Paul's going to talk about that in a second, but I just wanted to let people know, if they have difficulty, for instance, with the DA2s, because some people don't like to search book by book or even series by series, which works for me, but I understand it doesn't work for everybody, you can plug in a standard keyboard into the port, and you can type things in and use, still utilize and download to the DA2, especially with your passwords and your library credentials, your BARC credentials. I know a lot of people struggle with that because you might have like some funky like symbols in your passwords and such. And so that would make it simple to, if you struggle with trying to do it letter by letter and that sort of thing. And I'm going to let Paul talk about the search engine.
The search engine that's available for the Vickery machine is essentially the keyword search in the BARC search. That is, it uses the broadest search component that's available in the BARC search list, which is keyword. It's the fourth choice down. But essentially, that's going to give you your broadest thing. And you can do search with the Victor Reader Stream and simply type in whatever you're searching for, and it will go out and find it and produce results on the Victor Reader Stream, which you can then download directly.
I do want to piggyback off something Mary said when she talked about the keyboard. That might also be a key when, if you switch over to the new DA2 player. You have to put in, you know, the whole Wi-Fi name and password and all that good stuff. And, you know, you only have the buttons on the player. So it can be difficult. We have found that it's very, well, it's easier if you have a keyboard that you can plug into that. It does have a USB port. You can plug in a keyboard. That would be much easier to type in your Wi-Fi name and password and get you set up on that Wi-Fi if you have a keyboard. That's very helpful.
This is your Zoom host. I think going forward, if you, as the facilitator, I think your name is Nicole, if you could repeat what they're saying. We're not hearing anything happening in the room. So Zoom folks are without any reference to what's going on.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you. Lastly, I want to talk about our programming in the library. This is something over the last year we've really, really grown. It's really important to us. We somewhat modeled after a lot of what the public libraries do. We're in a digital world, and everything is downloaded, and everything is instantaneous. But, and the public libraries are in the same boat. But one of the things that helps keep us relevant is we offer more than that. We offer more than books. And so we have lots of programs that have been up and running that are coming, that are currently running. So I just want to quickly run down those so you get an idea of what type of programming we're doing at the library. And then if you have suggestions, we would love to have them. Some of the past programs that we have done that are currently aren't running, but some have been very popular and we're going to bring them back, are Birding by Ear. So it's an online, okay, we have members of that group here. They meet online, and they talk about and listen to bird songs and identify who's visiting in your backyard. So you can listen and identify who's migrated here or who's visiting. Yes, there's a great app for that, too. We did music appreciation, just to learn about the NLS music collection and publications. We've done container gardening. So gardening that's just easy and fun and in a small little container. Learn some tips and tricks there. Resource research. You get help on how to find resources in your area for blindness or accessibility or whatever you may need. We did a pause to read, and pause being P-A-W-S for those who are favorites. Books that we talk about or titles or favorite stories about our furry friends. So we have a group that meets and talks about that. Our current running, ongoing virtual programs are Wrangling All Writers. This is for people who like to write. They give you some great prompts and let you finish the story, and then sometimes they share their stories with each other. We have a Get Crafty Kids, and that's a little craft kit. It's done bi-monthly. It's designed for children, but we either mail it out for kids. We have two age groups, 3 to 5 or 6 to 11, and you can sign your child up who's a patron, or grandparents or parents who want to do this with their children can also get that kit. And we've had great success in that and some really good feedback from that. Using the online book catalog, so you can search the entire catalog for books. We have a group meeting to talk about that and help you learn how to search the catalog. Bard Help, we do meet for Bard issues. We have one called the Community Table, which is they get together and talk about famous family recipes that they love, and they share the recipes with each other. And then we're hoping to kind of put a book together of all the recipes and share that. And then we have our newsletter activity. So if you get that newsletter, we always put activities in it, like reading bingo. So if you read so many in a row, we have reading challenges where we ask you to read a certain number of books or a certain genre or something like that. We have in-person things. I know not everybody can make it to Daytona, but we do have a couple in-person things. One is the Get Crafty, where they do make fun tactile crafts. And then our newest thing, we haven't really started it yet, it's brand new, is our accessible game collection. So we've been getting games and figuring out how to make them accessible, and we're going to loan them out directly from our Daytona library, so you can play Uno or cards or Monopoly or whatever it might be. Connect Four, I saw that one being done the other day. Currently, what's coming your way? June 1st starts our summer reading activities. So look for a postcard coming. Look on our website. We're going to be putting things out. But this summer's theme is Unearth a Story. And you can win cute little prizes that we'll send you in the mail. There's a reading challenge to read 4 books. And any book counts, but we ask if you'll try to read a bestseller from like the 70s, 80s, or 90s. Little retro. There's a bonus for kids. We got the Florida Symbols coloring book from the state of Florida that has all things Florida in it, our Florida tree and our Florida flower and our alligator and all things, our birds. And it's a great little coloring book. And, of course, it's educational about Florida. So that's something we can send out. We're going to do book bingo, where you have a little bingo card and you have to read from genres in a certain direction. And then writing activities, we have one for kids and one for adults. I believe the prompt is for the adults is going to be something like you travel in the past multiple times, but only for 10 minutes. So how do you handle that? Where are you going and how do you stop, you know, making that happen over and over again, experiencing the same 10 minutes? So we'll give you fun little prompts to write about and share. That's it for the programming. I just want to make sure that you are aware and get involved with your library. It's something you can call in and do. You don't have to be local. We can sign you up so that you get the notifications of the Zoom link, and it's a Teams link actually, and you can join and be a part of these groups and, you know, hang out with other people. They tend to have a lot of fun. I jumped in the cooking one and I was hearing about all kinds of cooking disasters, but we were having a lot of fun with it. That's it. If anybody's got questions, I am happy to continue to answer questions, and we have one. I'm taking the mic to them so the people online can hear.
And Nicole, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I do. Given the fact of what you said about these groups and stuff like that that are facilitated, and obviously hearing your concern of not being able to get everybody to Daytona, would you be willing and able or inclined to host one of those and do it at our 2028 convention here in Orlando?
Let me have the mic. Yeah. I would love to. I think that would be amazing. Yes, I would love to do that. We will do that.
So I was gonna gauge potential participation. So folks in the room, by a sound of applause, would that be something would be cool for us to look into and partner with the library here on the ground?
Yes, we will definitely plan on doing that. Thank you. Any other questions?
This question, this is a comment, really, for Ms. Trina. One of the things I get to do is chair the Blind Services Foundation, and I wanted to make an announcement that most people in this program, in this room, may not know yet. And since it involves the Division of Blind Services, I think it's appropriate for me to do that. One of the programs that has been run by the Blind Services Foundation with contributions from the Division of Blind Services is a program called the SET program. And this is the Senior Equipment and Training Program. And we have probably over the last 3 years made available close to $250,000 for seniors who can't afford to buy technology. And the Division of Blind Services has partnered with the Blind Services Foundation. And I wanted to announce to everybody that at its last meeting, the Blind Services Foundation agreed to continue the SET program for next year. But I also wanted to report that the Division of Blind Services has indicated they're prepared to match the funds we provide equally up to $75,000. So I wanted to thank Interim Director Travis for the willingness of the Division of Blind Services to support a program that enables seniors to avoid going to nursing homes and creates independence where it didn't exist before. So thank you, Director Travis.
Any other questions, comments, concerns? We got one in the back.
Hi, Nicole. I just wanted to offer a personal thank you from Friends of Library Access and myself for the wonderful array of items that you sent us for our convention this weekend. Of course, you and Marie may have a different idea what a small box means, but...
Yes.
I had a friend who's going to be transporting that home, so we have plenty of supplies for future tabling events. Thank you again.
Wonderful. You are very welcome.
It's a question for Director Travis. I wonder if you could give us an update on the status of the State Rehab Council. How many members you have, how many members you're missing, and what is the process, the procedure for someone to apply to become a member?
Thank you for that question, because I was hesitant to do a shameless or shameful plug for the FRCB. We do need members, and so one of the things that we talked about in the last meeting is how to make the application more readily available to people who are interested in becoming members. And so we talked a lot about making sure that when someone is interested, they have easy access to it. And one of the recommendations was to put it on our website, put the application on our website. So the process is you submit the application to the governor's office, who will then review the application and make a determination as to whether or not they believe you are a good member. As part of that process, they will also review with the Department of Education any application that they are interested in moving forward. So the first part would be to simply put in that application. And so one of the things that we want to do is make that application easily accessible to you so you don't have to go hunting for it. We have several seats that need to be filled. And so very excited. If any of you are interested in applying, please, please, please feel free to reach out to DBS or someone over in the FRCB. We are happy to provide information about how to apply to become a member. The Florida Rehabilitation Council for the Blind.
Thank you. So I had two questions, and one definitely had to deal with the FRCB as a past member and chair. there have been some genuine concerns brought up, and realistically, I don't think it's fair to set up any expectation at this point in the game until after midterm elections. But one of the concerns that we have seen as a community, and I'm not speaking just for Florida Council of Blind, I'm speaking as individuals who are blind or visually impaired, is ensuring that the collaboration and the leaning on the council by the agency maintains. And the best way to do that is to ensure that representation is varied and that individuals who are being considered for those seats actually bring something to the table. A certain level of knowledge, life experience, professional experience. We have seen, and this leads me into my second question, which has to do with the options for delivery of services. As you know, DBS does not have as many offices throughout the state as the general agency, which is VR. And many individuals who are blind or visually impaired do find themselves utilizing VR services, which they are absolutely entitled to, and you can actually have two cases, so that part we're good. But in the last window of time, going backwards a little bit, and I know it's not healthy to go backwards in dialogue, but I think it's important to know how we get to a place. Some of the individuals who are blind and visually impaired who were receiving services through the general agency have been left out of the ability to participate due to some of the decisions and retractions on the availability of services, not taking into account marginalized communities, transportation disadvantage, or even access, right? So online services and the delivery of online services has negatively impacted primarily some of those pre-ETS or Y-coded individuals, so that youth in transition who were receiving some and taking part in an immersive and inclusive experience, which would definitely be considered integrated because they were mixed in with other individuals of online career camps and stuff like that. I realize that that decision hasn't rolled through DBS, but it is something that many of us are watching and we are very concerned. We also feel that that is a good example of why it is we want you, Director Travis, to keep your finger on the pulse of the council, because it is highly well discussed in the public that the current council is not able to provide some of that expertise and some of that guidance and some of these clear red flags and margins that have been set up within the state of Florida for so many years have just been blown through. And do you happen to know if there's going to be any discussion or retraction on some of the decisions that have so negatively impacted not just the blind community, but individuals with other disabilities who are unable to now fully engage or participate or take advantage of some of the deliverables?
Thanks, Mikey. So the issue that we find ourselves faced with at this time is multi-pronged, right? So we have several seats that are vacant, also in light of not getting the appointments that we need. And so based on another council member's report, Mr. Doug Ingram, who attended a national convention, shared with us that this is not a thing just for Florida. So this is happening nationwide, where councils, state councils, are not getting the appointments that they need to make sure that the vacant seats are filled. And so in light of that, I agree with you, we probably won't see anything until after the midterm elections happen. But at the same time, we can go ahead and collect applications for consideration, and making sure that people who are applying make sure they meet those qualifications. So there's specific language in the statute that talks about who should serve on the various seats. And so in making sure that we tap the right people, making sure that people are aware of what those requirements are, not just applying for the sake of applying, but making sure they meet the language in the statute so that we have the best chance of getting the people that we need in order to have a well-informed council.
Okay, this is DJ. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, by way of Philadelphia. I want to ask, that, and to piggyback off of what Mikey just was talking about, is on this incumbent in like geographical areas, like geographically speaking, or down, you know, breaking it down to county by county, district by district, or whatever, or, you know, all of the above? I know.
The other part of Mikey's question that I didn't answer that you're just kind of making me circle back to is the provision of services. And I spoke about the comprehensive statewide needs assessment earlier. And so that is designed to help us make better decisions about those services in areas where we don't have a physical office, and even a physical office is very far. And so in that, the recommendation should include things like, oh, provide virtual services and things of that nature. So that assessment is really designed to help us make better decisions and to prepare us to provide services to those in outlying areas where we don't have the benefit of an office where people can go into or where a counselor can go to them. Yes, you got it.
I'm sorry, this is my last question. This is Anisa Correa again. My question is, I understand the formula that states are able to get the money from RSA, the 80-20, et cetera, and I'm wondering if Florida is one of those states that is able to collect all the money, the federal money that is entitled to them based on population. And are you one of the states that at the end of the year is able to recoup some money that other states don't are not able to take advantage of?
So, it is a loaded question. So here's the thing. For a very long time, the state of Florida got a good deal of money. And for a very long time, we could not spend all of the money that we got because we didn't have the authority to spend all of the money that we got. So in the past couple of years, we requested budget authority up to the maximum amount of the grant that we received. And I believe last year was the first year that we were able to spend it and we did not send any money back. I'm hearing, and I'm not completely certain if it's true, I'm hearing that we're going to get a cost of living adjustment on our RSA grant, and we're going to have to go back to the legislature next year to request more budget authority to spend those additional funds. So we're not in the position to request money from any other states because this is the first time we've been in the position of spending all of the money that we actually get. If you have recommendations for us or things that you'd like to see, I'm going to Paul.
Thank you. This is a pretty straightforward question, just to keep us up to date. I know there is no final answer yet, but what are the expectations that are currently out there with regard to the Division of Blind Services budget for this year?
I'm sorry. Help me understand what you say when you say expectations.
Say again. Sorry, but I think there's a difference between the House and the Senate budget, and I think that the legislature this week met and adjourned without finally adopting a budget. So do you have any expectations of what's likely to happen? Or we're really asking you to sort of stick your head in a crystal ball and see what comes out.
So the expectation is for us to be at the very least level funded, right? I did see a couple of documents which are not finalized. The House and the Senate, there is a gap. And so we're hopeful that they'll be able to come to the table and give us what we're asking for. I mean, I'm hopeful that we won't experience what we experienced a couple of years ago, where we all the way up until the end, all the way up to the end, we were getting what we had asked for, and then at the 11th hour, we were cut. So I'm hoping that not to be the case, but at the very least, for us to be level funded. You're welcome,
Director Travis. First of all, welcome and thank you for your first time here. Okay, and everybody, I just want you to know that you will get to the point. Former Director Doyle used to be excited to come here, okay? But we will put you through the paces, and it really is all coming from helping the folks that we serve and wanting to help you do the best job that your agency can. We really do appreciate you taking the bull by the horns and coming in. You always have a welcome, Matt. You will get an invitation every year. And it will get harder, but it gets funner as we get to know each other better and get through the trenches. I want you to know that Florida Council of the Blind is also prepared to roll up our sleeves and help the agency and advocate, do whatever you need. So please know that you have a friend in us, you have support, and I hope that you will use us as a resource. And I want to thank you so much for your time and coming out today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Nicole.
She's right here.
Oh, honey, the eyes in front of my head don't work. Imagine the ones in the back of my head. I want to thank you for always being there to serve everybody, your staff. There may or may not be one staff member here that I'm partial to, that I have her on speed dial. Not going to mention any names.
Mary Tyson.
But I want to thank you for always being there, making sure that literacy and engagement and that mental health that the library provides to so many of us that are isolated is still continuously there. So thank you again for your time and for being here. And I'm going to hold you to that workshop. Okay. Folks, we're going to wrap up here. Thank you all so much. Let's give our guests another round of applause, please.